Now tonight, we are happy to present the speaker to you. Every project, I suppose, has its staunch supporters. It has those that have stood by it through the years and been a blessing to it. And Harvest Time has had a staunch ally and supporter in the person of our speaker for many years. He has served us as the promotional director of Harvest Time, later on the director of department, and presently a member of the radio commission of the United Pentecostal Church International, pastor of a very fine church, city of Fort Smith, Arkansas, and he's here to preach to us tonight. Thank God. And I feel that he has something on his heart that we need to get on our hearts. I believe and I feel that he has something that he can transmit to our minds and our hearts tonight if we'll pray the anointing of God upon him. Praise the Lord. And as we stand right now, I'd like to present to you the speaker for the evening, Brother James G. Lumpkin from Fort Smith, Arkansas. And God bless you, Brother Lumpkin. Preach to us out of your heart.
Thank you, Brother Chambers. God bless you, and God bless this wonderful congregation that's here tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, I know and realize that I'm a very honored individual to have the privilege to preach in this Western District Conference, and I consider that as such. Be in this fine church to see many brethren that I've known in the past through past acquaintances, and then, of course, to renew acquaintances and be here tonight, I'm thankful for it. I'm glad for all that I've heard. I'm glad for the privilege I had of being in the meeting today. I'm glad I got the chance to hear Brother Toole last night. Everything about this conference has been a blessing to me. I personally received an answer this morning to something that helped me very, very much just listening to brethren talk. And so I owe a debt of gratitude. I come to you tonight after all that has been said and done, and we thank God for every promotion, everything relative to the work of the United Pentecostal Church. But after all is said and done, I still have a burden on my heart here tonight, and I brought that burden here. And I realize and am quite cognizant of the fact that there are many able ministers in this district. But for some reason or another, I'm here tonight, and I'm just going to have to share with you what God's given me. And what it is may not be much to somebody else, but what it is to me right now is burning in my soul. Hallelujah. Now, I need you to help me preach tonight. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not going to hold you long. I'm not going to hold you long, but I want you to help me preach tonight. Hallelujah. Will you do that? I don't bring a whole lot of credentials with me, so I need your help. I don't mean the one, Brother Chambers, I got in my pocket, but I mean the other kind. You know, these men have been kidding me about being Brother Urshan's stand-in tonight. Now, I know how disappointed you already are about that, but we ain't going to worry about Nathan tonight. We're going to worry about Lumpkin. He's the one that needs the help now. Praise the Lord. Is that all right?
That's all right.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. I'm feeling better all the time. Hallelujah. Shake hands with your neighbor. Say everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Well, I feel good. Real good. I feel good. Wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel good. Oh, I feel good.
real good. I feel good, wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel good. Everybody sing it. I feel good. Well, I feel good, wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel good. Oh, I feel good, real good. I feel good, wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, and I feel joy, real joy. I feel joy, wonderful joy. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel joy. Oh, I feel joy, real joy. I feel joy, wonderful joy. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel joy. Yes, I feel joy, real joy. I feel joy, wonderful joy. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel joy. Oh, yes. Oh, I feel good, real good. I feel good, wonderful good. Some of you are beginning to get with it a little bit. All of you, aren't you? Well, I feel good, real good. I feel good, wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, talking about Jesus, oh, I feel good, real good. I feel good, wonderful good. Every time I talk about Jesus, and I feel joy, real joy. I feel joy, wonderful joy. Every time I talk about Jesus, and I feel love, real love. I feel love, wonderful love. Every time I talk about Jesus, I feel love. And you can feel good, real good. You can feel good, wonderful good. Every time you talk about Jesus, you can feel good. Oh, you can feel good, real good. You can feel good, wonderful good. Every time you talk about Jesus, you can feel good. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Don't you believe it? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank God. I'm feeling like that old Baptist boy that got the Holy Ghost in our church not too many months ago. He was about 6'8" tall. He was so big I had to almost baptize him in sections. Praise God. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost down at the altar. You know, he never had been in service before, hardly, and didn't know much about anything about Pentecost, except the night he got the Holy Ghost. He got through speaking in tongues, and every time you get the Holy Ghost, you do speak in tongues. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Only 9 times out of 9 you do that, but anyway. When he got through, he just opened his eyes, and they looked like they're about as big as silver dollars. He was just looking around at everybody. I said, well, brother, I said, how do you feel? And he just looked at me, and his eyes were just big. He was looking at everybody like he'd never seen them before in all their life. And all of a sudden, he just said, whoo! Hallelujah. I said, well, that's really wonderful. That's all right. That's good. I said, but tell me, just how do you really feel? Them old eyes got big. He said, woo! Well, I did it the third time, and you'll have to believe me, it happened again. I said, well, what is it really like, though? Tell me about it, Brother Southern Baptist. Tell me about it. All of a sudden, again, he just let out, woo-wee! Hallelujah. Well, you know, there's some of you tonight, there's been probably a long, long time since you've had a woo-wee! Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know that it's necessary. I don't guess it just has to be essential. I don't guess it's an obligation on everybody's part that they've got to do it. But bless your heart, every now and then, I like to get a whoopee in my soul, praise the Lord, about the blessings of Almighty God. Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Tell you what, you get a few of them going every now and then, it sure can help out a lot, you know. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! I'm feeling all right up here, Brother Price. It's been a long time, you see, since I've traveled around very much, and I've been hibernating down in the old arcs, and we've got our shoes on down there, though. We're wearing shoes now. But anyway, praise the Lord. I told Brother Price tonight, I said, you know, I'm scared. I said, I'm just scared tonight. Well, I'm still scared. Amen. All my knee knocking up here is not the Holy Ghost. It's just a little scared. Hallelujah. You know, there's something about the Holy Ghost, though, that can give you a boldness. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether it's Brother Price, whether it's Brother Stanley Chambers, it don't matter who it is. If you've got that unction of the Holy Ghost, praise God, you can preach the Word. Hallelujah. Not that we're supposed to be afraid of them. I don't mean that, Brother Paul. Praise the Lord. But I'm feeling the presence of Almighty God in this place tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to need all I can get to, brother. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. I read an article that came out of the state of California some time back, and I'm going to share that article with you and then try to just tell you a little bit about what God has laid on my heart. Amen. It said, college campuses across America and the world are seething with discontent. Students are dissatisfied with the status quo. Revolution is the order of the day. A noted Harvard sociologist, a doctor Sorokin, has observed that not only war and famine and pestilence and revolution, but a legion of other calamities are rampant over the whole world. All values are unsettled. All norms are broken. Mental, moral, aesthetic, and social anarchy reigns. So great is this crisis which faces our world that confusion, pessimism, and defeat are the attitude of many of our scientists, intellectuals, our heads of state, and our world leaders. Today, perhaps as never before, students are demanding a valid and a lasting revolution that will improve the lives of men and change the world. Webster defines revolution as a sudden, as a radical, and as a complete change. I said Mr. Webster said that revolution is defined as being that which is a sudden, a radical, and a complete change. The 17th chapter of the book of Acts, and you're familiar with that, Paul's preaching at Thessalonica. He's only been there 3 short Sabbaths, and he's established a thriving church. And it's in this particular chapter where the 6th verse tells us that these are the men, these that have turned the world upside down, have come hither unto us also. And I know you're familiar with that chapter, and you're familiar with that verse of Scripture. It apparently sounds like that it was nothing short of a revolution that was taking place in that city of Thessalonica. Praise the Lord. And it appears today that the order of the day around the world is revolution. Revolution. And I guess ours is an era that is well acquainted with revolutions, because our history books of the last 40 years tell us of enough revolutions that have changed the political face of the world. Now, I'm no historian. I don't claim to be one. I barely got through school, and most of you did too. And so I'm not trying to impress you tonight with any great knowledge of history, because I don't know much about it, but I know a little bit about it that I picked up here that I want to work into this message, if the Lord will help me. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, it wasn't hard for me to understand that a revolution took place 90 miles off the coast of Florida when an unknown, unheralded man by the name of Fidel Castro came out of the mountains down in the southern part of that peninsula and started working on overthrowing the government. And Mr. Batista didn't think that there was a great deal that could happen as a result of this little Mr. Castro, but it wasn't long, and you read about it, and you know about it. It wasn't very long till that government was toppled and that Mr. Castro was the prime minister of that island. He took it over through a revolution, and they were getting along pretty well, and of course was very successful at it. You have read in recent years about the country of Greece that had a military takeover. Matter of fact, the king is in exile in Rome right tonight. And not long ago, we read about the Hungarian Revolution. And we sympathize with those fellas fighting those Russian tanks with Coca-Cola bottles and everything else. And that's what they did. Exactly what they did. And not long ago, the Czechoslovakians were forced to renounce the liberal lines that they were going. Had to return to the true fold of communism. Not two or three days ago, I read about Portugal having a revolution. And it just seems like that you cannot hardly pick up a newspaper and read it unless you see something somewhere on the front page about the fires of revolution burning somewhere or another. That's right. Let me say it again. It's a sudden and it's a complete and it's a radical change. Now, I remember, you probably remember, the four revolutions you might have studied about, the English Revolution in 1668 and the American Revolution of 1775 and the French Revolution of 1789 and the Russian Revolutions of 1917. That seemed to be the only ones most of us down in the state of Georgia. Maybe there were some we didn't know about, but that's the four that got to us when I was going to school in Muskogee County. That's this side of the Chattahoochee River. All right. Now, revolutions are brought on by discontent. Revolutions are brought on by discontent. People that are unhappy and people that are dissatisfied with the status quo. Now, you bear with me a minute. Will you just bear with me? All right. 1775. That American Revolution. Life had been going on in these colonies undisturbed for 100 years, for over 100 years, in fact. And the reason for that, at least one reason for it anyway, was the fact that the great distance that separated the mother country from the colonies. And another reason was the fact that England was waging two wars at that time. One of them on the American continent, and another one on the European continent. And consequently, they had very little time to concern themselves with the affairs and with the lives of the people that were living in these colonies. And so, therefore, the colonies just seemed to learn to manage their own affairs and to get along without a whole lot of help. But this came to a rather sudden stop when the English won the French-Indian War. And then they began a series of actions that was to anger that was to infuriate and was to bring total discontent to the people that lived in the colonies. Now, the first thing they did, they established a tax that would help maintain their post-war army and help to pay for their colonial administration. And if that wasn't enough, they established the proclamation of the year 1763, when they closed all the lands west of the Allegheny Mountains, back out there in the east somewhere, to further settlement. A pioneer wanted to go out there and stake out a little land, he could forget it, because that was just another rule of thumb that was not to be tampered with. The mother country had decided they couldn't. And if that wasn't enough, they imposed in the year 1764 a Sugar Act. They said, now you colonies, you don't buy no molasses from anybody but the British West Indies. If you go ahead and buy them from the French and the Spanish, you're going to have to pay just double tax on what you have been doing. And they just begin to hammer and hammer. And then in 1765, they established a quartering and a stamp act. They said under certain conditions, all of their soldiers would be able to live in the homes of the people of the colonies. And if that wasn't enough, they said, now listen, every time you buy a stamp, you're going to have to pay a tax on it. And every time you got a legal document to be signed, you're going to pay a tax on it. And every time you buy a newspaper, you're going to have a tax on it. And every time there's a business form, a document of any kind, you're going to have to pay a tax on it. And if that wasn't enough, they put a tax on all the tea. And everybody's familiar with that. That resulted in the famous Boston Tea Party, in which 342 cases of tea was dumped in the Boston Harbor, valued at some $75,000. Tax, tax, tax. Proclamation, proclamation, proclamation. Dark days begin to come in the hearts and in the minds of these inhabitants of these colonies. From bad to worse, it got more gloomy, and it got more gloomy, and it got more gloomy, until finally it seemed like everybody was about to capitulate. But it was at this particular time that gentleman by the name of Mr. Pat Henry stood up in the Ivy Halls of Congress, and he said, listen to me, boys. He said, now, gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. He said, the next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains of slavery? He said, forbid it, Almighty God. I don't know what course you're going to take. He says, but as for me, he said, I'm unhappy. I'm dissatisfied. I'm just not pleased with what's going on. He said, so give me liberty or give me death. Praise the Lord. And so then on April the 19th, 1775, at Lexington, the shot was fired that's been heard round the world. Hallelujah. How many ever read that in your history book? The shot was fired that was heard round the world. And 6½ years later, on October the 19th, 1781, the British forces surrendered at Yorktown, Virginia, thus creating the independent United States of America. And all of this because the fires of revolution began to beat in the heart of people who were discontented. Discontented. Revolution, a sudden, a radical, and a complete change is brought on by people that are discontented. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I've been trying to pastor a church. I've built a couple of churches in some 8 or 9 years of total pastoral work, and I've been involved in the work of God in some avenues of respect, just like
you have in some form or another. And there have been many years that I have thought that I have been giving everything that I had to the work of the Lord, my energy and my time and my finance and everything I could think about and you can think about, praise the Lord. But I came to a place a few months ago in my life when I decided that I really hadn't been doing anything for Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 I began to get to a place where I was discontented and unhappy and dissatisfied with that which I was given to God for all of the gracious dealings that He had given me in return. I got to thinking about that rich young ruler that went up to the Lord and said, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord looked at him and He said, "Well, thus and so, you know the commandments, this and that, this and that." He said, "All these I've kept since my youth." The Lord looked at him and He said, "If thou wilt be perfect then, sell what thou hast, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." Now the Bible tells us that that young man hung his head and he walked away sorrowfully. Hallelujah. You see, what he didn't understand was the significance of the question that he asked. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He thought he was still playing for marbles, if you please. Hallelujah. And I've been preaching about going to heaven. I've been preaching about the holy city. I've been preaching about the Holy Ghost. And I've been talking about a holy Bible, praise the Lord, and everything that relates to holiness. But I had not ever really got the significance of the fact that what I was asking God to do for me, that I was putting enough back into it like I ought to put into it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, God, you help me tonight. You know I'm trying my best. Kundala Moshala. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And some of you out there aren't doing your best either. Hallelujah. Some of you are just like you think that you were doing your best. But when you get to stealing away in a dark, secluded spot, shut in with God in a secret place, you'll find out that we haven't even begun to climb the ladder that God wants us to climb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so I went to my church. I shut myself in that office. And I got on my knees. And I come out a couple of days later, praise the Lord, burdened in my soul. I'd been living for God for years. I'd been preaching for a few years. I'd been trying to do the things that I knew I needed to do for a few years. But I really had not got discontented with myself enough in order that I could climb the spiritual ladder that God wanted me to climb. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, this is probably old to a lot of you old preachers, but it was new to me. I got so stirred up about it. Praise the Lord, that Sunday, that's when I called the funeral home. I had them bring a casket out. Amen. I didn't tell nobody about it but six men. You've probably done that. I've never done it before. Amen. Things get to Arkansas a few years later than it do some other places. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me have it, Brother Davis.
I'm planning on walking around out here a little tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, praise God, about 8:30 I stepped up to that pulpit. About that time, the door swung open. Here comes six, a trio got to the microphone. And down the aisle it came. I mean a real live coffin.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right. A real live coffin, a real live coffin.
and said he'd seen some strange fellows one time put his hand on somebody and try to bleed the blood and straighten the crooked leg, but he said, no juice. They didn't have no juice. Amen. You got to get plugged in and have some juice. You know that? Praise the Lord. I had everybody in the church come down by there, Brother Chambers. If you'd have been there, I'd have made you come by and work it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Everybody, look at it. Put the mirror in it, you know, on both ends of it. And I know the sensual things, you've heard of this, but I was more interested in the other end of that casket. I had liquor bottles and whiskey bottles and dice and cards and dope and everything you can think about in one end of it. And then on the other end, I had me some little things printed up, and I had in there selfish, faithless, fearful, negligent, indifferent, careless, everything you can think about. I laid it there, and I made them all walk by there and look at that coffin and those few little things that were in there. You say, well, that must have been a good show, Brother Lumpkin. And wasn't that great? Well, that's good. We'll go home. And no, it just wasn't like that at all, because the Holy Ghost got a hold of the service. Hallelujah. And this service or any other service, not worth the time you spend it if the Holy Ghost doesn't get in here. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. And I'd pick those cards up and I'd walk down through that aisle and said, that self-righteous card I'd have, I'd shake it under everybody's nose I possibly could. And then I'd go down there and throw it in that coffin and say, I'm going to bury you, you devil, you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to bury you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know the only reason the church gets lazy? It's because the pastor gets lazy. And I was a lazy pastor. Hallelujah. I was. Oh, I was busy. I'd dig ditches and I'd pour concrete and I built 4 buildings in the last 3 years and all that. But I was lazy, Brother Agnew. Hallelujah. Lazy spiritually. Oh, I could show some progress in the natural. If that's what you think God's going to look you over for when He comes back, He's not going to look us over for medals and citations and how many keys to the city we get. He's not going to look for those things. He's going to look for a few scars that we got. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. I said, I'm looking at the biggest do-nothing church in Pentecost. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. You don't ever do nothing. I said it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing, 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 nothing. You come and give 3.5 hours a week to the Lord, knocking on a few doors and doing this, and then you look down your nose at somebody else that hadn't done anything, and you think you're somebody, you ain't done nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Hallelujah to God. I said that little sign on my office there, pastor study, it ought to be the lost and found department. Brother Lumpkin, where's the Elmer's glue? Have you got a pair of scissors? Did you know the commode stopped up in number 2 stall? I said, don't you ever ask me that again. Don't you ever ask me that again. Hallelujah to God. Praise God. If the commode gets stopped up, you unstop it. And if it don't get unstopped, it ain't never going to get unstopped if I do it. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Rain on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, as of tonight, bless your heart, we're going to have a revolution around this place. Glory to God. There's going to be a sudden and a complete and a radical change. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I'm going to use that pastor's study to pray. And I'm going to use that pastor's study to fast. And I'm going to use that place where I can shut myself in with God. And I can become the effective revolutionary, if you please, in this world for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen. You may think I'm rambling. I'm not rambling. I know exactly where I am. Hallelujah. I remember, praise God, the next day, I went down and I did something I've never done before. I've always been a little bashful. Yeah, I have, really. I walked up on the second story of the First Federal Bank building. And lo and behold, the man that's the executive vice president there, he really runs, but he's the vice president. But he was introducing to about 18 ladies and a vice president up there, the new appraiser, the official appraiser of the property. And I'm still burning in my soul from the night before. And I never said anything to this man or anybody else up there, but thank you if I was trying to get a loan or something. And I went up there that day, and this man, he saw me, and he called me. He said, "Say, Brother Lumpkin, come over. I'd like for you to meet Mr. Mays," I believe he said his name was. He is the new official appraiser of the First Federal Savings and Loan. And I'd just like for you to meet him. Said, "Mr. Mays," Brother Lumpkin, says, "they got a nice church out on Kelly Highway," and says, "they're doing just a great job." I said, "Pardon me, Mr. Conran, but we ain't doing nothing." I said, "We're not doing nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing." I said, "We're just like you are." That's right, I said it. I said, "You went to the First Presbyterian yesterday morning, and you hobnobbed with your doctor friends and lawyer friends, and you throwed a 10-spot in the offering plate, and you walked out of that place, and you tried to justify yourself for what you had done." And I said, "You ain't done nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing." About that time, those old typewriters stopped clicking. That fellow was standing up, and he sat down on the end of a desk, took off his glasses and looked at me. And one of the vice presidents was standing there named Mr. Eccles. And I looked over at him. I said, "Mr. Eccles, have you ever thought how nasty you are?" He said, "No, no, 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 no." I said, "Can you imagine anybody in here on this second floor? Anybody, all of us, being ready to meet a holy God, coming down from a holy city to take up a holy people?" Hallelujah. My God, I talked to him, and all of a sudden it dawned on me what I'd done, and I said, "Well, I gotta go."